The following episode of The Rolling Restart was recorded approximately a week ago and before the announced changes to Azerite armor in Battle for Azeroth. With that being the case, some of the information that we may say may not be relevant any longer, but most of it is still pretty on the button as far as I'm concerned. Enjoy the show. From the many realms of Azeroth to the great dark beyond via the magic of podcasting, this is episode 47 of The Rolling Restart, a World of Warcraft podcast for you, for me, and for my co-host this week. His favorite two letters of the alphabet are D and D. In my opinion, his GIF game on Twitter continues to be on point, and I don't know if he enjoys long walks on the beach, but I do know he loves hunting down sickly gazelles in war mode. Rumor is the reason I don't play Alliance too much is because I don't want to be ganked by him. I will neither confirm or deny that. From Azeroth Roundtable, there will be dungeons and core, it's John Jagger. Hi, John.
Well, hello, Ro. That was a fantastic introduction this go around. All of it true. Although I learned the hard way yesterday that sometimes the sickly gazelle is not actually a gazelle, but is some sort of strange beast that looks like a gazelle, but will blow you up.
A beast in sickly gazelle clothing.
It was shocking what happened, honestly.
That might be karmic payback for the ganking that you and your partners in crime did, as was mentioned in Azeroth Roundtable, when you were playing possum and then had Ben and another friend jump on an unsuspecting Alliance member.
Oh yeah, I had it coming. Every time I die in WoW, it's a feeling of I deserve this.
Well, before we get into the main course of today's talk, as it were, there are a couple questions I wanted to ask, a couple of which are asked via Twitter. But my first question from me to you goes like this. We had 8.1 revealed, announced, outlined not too long ago. From all the stuff that's coming ahead about maybe 3-4 weeks from now, what has made the biggest impression on you? What are you the most hyped about? What are you the most excited about in terms of 8.1? Because it should be upon us before BlizzCon.
So I haven't dug too much into content-wise what it'll be. Mm-hmm. I've seen bits and pieces. I'm very excited that Blood Elves are going to get their heritage armor. As a Blood Elf, we're used to getting things later than most people. So getting in with this, kind of going back and giving the heritage gear to the pre-existing classes and races, I should say. Classes doesn't make sense. That's pretty exciting for me that I saw. But I'm going to be honest, when it comes to, checking out what's coming, I have a tendency to just be interested in story spoilers, and that's it. So that's really all I've been reading. And
so you're aware of a lot of the stuff that's been data mined, I imagine.
Yeah.
Okay. Without giving away what that stuff is, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I think it's good story. I think let's not talk about the spoilers. Let's roll it back to Pandaria. That moment where you're with Vol'jin and a bunch of orcs show up to murder Vol'jin.
Yeah.
And you decide to help Vol'jin out. That felt good because we were all like, yeah, we want to protect Vol'jin. There's some similar stuff going on in this data mined bit of business where I'm not sure I would side with the side that the game is deciding I'd be siding with. If that makes sense.
No, that makes sense.
So I'm trying to dance around it so that people who haven't been spoiled continue to not be spoiled. But it's one of those cases where it's, the story is going to go a direction, and WoW is not particularly known for giving your character nuance as far as your decisions. You're kind of on the path you're on. But I'm not sure my character would be on that path. So it is going to be interesting to see how I feel when that plays out.
One thing that I guess we can say, though, is regardless of the path that the story seems to put us on this theme park, as it were, you have always made a very strong attempt to find some sort of way to justify it and to make it work for your characters. And so I'm sure you'll find a way to make it work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this one's a little tough because it's not fitting the head narrative. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'll probably go along with it and just say, okay, yeah, I guess this is going to be the ultimate answer to it. But yeah, we'll see how it all plays out.
All right. Well, next question, and I'm putting this question out there, even though this is a World of Warcraft podcast. Someone asked us on Twitter when I said, hey, if you have questions, toss it at us. And this question is about World of Warcraft. But we'll talk about another game for just a minute here, because BlizzCon's coming in. It's relevant. And John does like his Diablo, from what I hear. Brian Howard, my DM from Plus Five to Hit, asked, would it be upsetting if the next Diablo game wasn't Diablo 4, but a Sanctuary Battle Royale?
I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world. I think that Blizzard could definitely do an interesting take on something like that. I think if they were passionate about it and they felt we're going to put our resources into it, as long as it wasn't a mobile game, I think I'd probably be into it.
So you definitely don't want a Diablo mobile game.
No, I have no interest in mobile games.
Okay.
This is not a secret to people who have listened to recent episodes of Core, but I am not a fan of mobile game experiences.
Gotcha. I don't know, man, just Sanctuary Battle Royale, I'm not even sure if I can imagine how that would work. Would they try to play up some of the survival aspects that some battle royales do? Would they try to translate the fighting and abilities of Diablo 3 into classes? Would they have new? Would there even be classes in the battle royale?
I don't even know how it would be a Diablo game, honestly, at that point. But let's blow it out a little bit and let's say, Ro, are you going to be disappointed if they don't announce Diablo 4?
No. Because I don't expect Diablo 4 to be announced, and I hate to break this to you, but if anything Diablo is going to be announced, it's going to be a Diablo mobile game. That's my opinion. I think Diablo 4 is in the works. I don't think this is the year we hear about Diablo. I think we're getting a Diablo announcement, but I don't think it's super significant. I think it's something. I think it's something to show us that they still, you know, have interest in the franchise. And so that's why all my assumptions are going toward mobile content. I'm just not sure what form that takes.
I'm going to make everybody you just disappointed feel better.
Okay.
And I'm going to predict Diablo 4.
Really?
Yeah. Why not?
I mean, I guess I could... I could see them pulling an Elder Scrolls or a Starfield, okay? So like at E3, Bethesda announced, hey, by the way, Elder Scrolls 6 is coming. Or is it 5 now? I don't know. But they basically said the next Elder Scrolls is on the way. But that's something that I think we all kind of knew was happening anyhow. And they confirmed that Starfield was a project that's coming soon, but they gave no other details or information or date or anything. Could I see them saying, yes, Diablo 4 is in development? Yeah, but I think that's all they could say.
No, it's been ages, man. It's been ages. Video games take a long time, but they, unless they completely had ideas that got 100% scrapped and started over, they don't take this long.
All right, well, we'll see. It's weird for you to be the optimist and me to be the pessimist on this one.
Well, that's because the previous years, when you might have suggested such a thing, those were too soon. Now we're no longer in too soon territory. We're officially where it needs to be. So here's my thought on Diablo 4, and then we can move back to World of Warcraft.
Yes.
They hit, as soon as they started their seasons in Diablo 3, and kind of that open world thing, and all the stuff that really came with Reaper of Souls, I feel like they found an amazing game that they tried to adapt Diablo 3 into being able to accommodate. And I think for a couple seasons, it really worked well. And I think for a while, it's really worked well. And I think interest in seasons and all of that has dwindled because Diablo 3 simply wasn't designed to be that game. And I think if I were a developer, if I were over at Blizzard, I would say, man, look at if we built a game with this stuff that people are clearly loving in mind. But this time we built a game that will properly support it and work around it. This would be amazing. This should be our direction. I think they could just run with it. And I hope that's what they've done. And I think that gives them a strong starting point, and that they've just been running with it ever since.
Yeah, I could see them going with that approach because, I mean, if anything, Blizzard is known for iterating on their content using what they've seen work in other games of theirs or just other games, period. And them kind of finding, I mean, we see them World of Warcraft all the time where they will introduce new systems and then they will build on them and tweak on them or and so on and so forth. I could see that happening with Diablo 4. Again, I won't be surprised if we see a lot of similarities in terms of systems between 3 or 4, where 4 like really brings the best out of those systems. You know what it is? I just think I'm Charlie Brown, the football's Diablo 4, and Blizzard's Lucy, and I feel like the ball's been pulled away too many times for me to get hyped about Diablo 4 anymore. So you're right, this will probably end up being the year that it's announced, because I don't believe it will be.
No, that's a perfect analogy. Because the reason I feel so optimistic about it is I've yet to try to kick the football.
True.
I have every year said, no, too soon for football. Nope. Not going to do it. This will be the first year where I'm like, yeah, it's time to kick that football.
All right. First BlizzCon prediction made here and now on Rolling Restart. We'll see how it plays out. Next question, and this pretty much is the perfect segue of a question ever. This is from Rob from the Training Dummies podcast, and he asks, do you think people are being too aggressive and toxic about the current state of BFA and some of the concerns, such as Azerite armor?
Yes, I do.
That's an interesting question for you to answer, isn't it?
Yeah, as somebody who does not like Azerite armor or the Azerite system, that's a bit tough. But the truth is there are things we're going to love about the game. There are things we're going to hate about the game. That's always going to be the case. There's a reason why it used to not be a hard question to ask, but it's getting there. When you ask somebody, what's your favorite WoW expansion? You could expect different answers. And when you said, well, what's your least favorite? You know, you'd get different answers. I just the other day saw somebody make a comment, speaking of toxic players getting mad about stuff, where someone said, this looks like this is going the direction of Mists of Pandaria, so I'm going to do the exact same thing I did in Mists and not play it. It's like, man, and I loved Mists. That was one of my favorite expansions. I loved that expansion. It's still like, I seriously put that expansion up maybe top 2-3 at this point. Like it's very high up there for me. But we're all over the place. What people get out of the expansion, what people do in an expansion, it runs the gamut. And as a result, there's going to be people that are mad about things all the time. And some people express that anger and frustration well, and some people don't. And I'm not going to claim that I have always been extremely effective at arguing it properly. I've always tried to be respectful of the people who made it, not make it personal, not make it about developers or, you know, look at the bad people at Blizzard or anything.
I don't think developers ever have an intention to make a crappy design.
No, and they don't. And I remember one year I was actually speaking to a couple of WoW developers, and I didn't pick my words exactly great. And I alluded to the fact that they kind of just stopped trying on Warlords of Draenor. And they didn't love that comment. I kind of stand by it because there was a lot of content planned and discussed that never happened, which to me says we gave up on it. I mean, that I don't know how you take it any other way than that. If they say, here's our patch plan and the content that's going to come out, and then none of that content comes out, I don't know how else you say that other than we gave up on this content. We moved on to something else. But I think they took it more as me saying they weren't trying, which is not what my intention was.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree that they gave up on the content, but that doesn't mean that... I think when you hear something like that, when you hear that, oh, so-and-so gave up on this, there's kind of this assumption that we're also including that they lack the interest or they lack the passion or the energy or resources in some manner or another, so they moved on to something else. It's not necessarily that. I think one of the... to put it in context for Warlords of Draenor, I feel the reason why they gave up on a number of pieces of content on that is because they really wanted to put more more of their eggs in the basket that was Legion, and many would argue that Legion was quite a success for that, and that they moved on from Warlords at the right time and put their resources into Legion, and it paid off for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when I look at expansions, Warlords of Draenor for me is about as low a bar as it can be. And I think Legion is, again, right up there, probably somewhere in the top three for me. So I think it was probably a necessary action that got them where they needed to go and got them what they needed to do. But to kind of tie it back to the original question a bit, people get toxic about everything. There are plenty of things in this game that I love that I've seen people get extremely toxic and upset about. I mean, one of my favorite things from Legion was the legendaries. And you talk about legendaries to certain players and their heads explode with anger. it was something that was an extremely divisive topic for some people. And I think how people present that and how they put that out into the world and channel that anger and how they phrase it, that's where it gets into, are people being too toxic and too upset about it? I think people have every right to be upset about the features in Battle for Azeroth. I think that they need to make sure they're framing that correctly.
I would definitely agree with you. Just kind of glancing at Twitter while we're having this conversation, Kara or Zandara, whom you and I both know, responded to the tweet that Rob sent to us, and she tiptoed in, said yes, and tiptoed back out. And then Rob gave his own answer and said, definitely yes, but awareness is a good thing. The usual don't be a dick rules should apply, but I get the feeling people are being super aggressive over something that can be tuned and adjusted. Like, this is the full moon of BFA lately. And I would tend to agree with that. It's if a system in Battle for Azeroth isn't working for you, it doesn't mean that the whole system is not worth saving or the whole system is trash. I think changes can be made to Azerite Armor, to Island Expeditions, to Warfronts, a lot of the things that some people are critical of. Hi, John.
Hello.
And if those adjustments are made, then it could pay off in the long run. I mean, we are still at the very beginning of the expansion. So what I think I'd like to do, if possible, for the remainder of this discussion is, yes, we are going to finally talk about Azerite Armor. It's something that I teased about for a couple episodes now when I was on with John, that we would eventually get to talking about Azerite Armor, how we feel about it. If you've listened to other shows, I think you already know some of our opinions already, but we're going to get into the good, the bad, and the ugly, and maybe in the reverse order, because I feel that there are things with Azerite Armor that both you and I, John, feel need work. But I think one thing we should also attempt to do is, along with stating what we don't like about Azerite Armor, is try to figure out what can developers do to make it likable? What are some changes that can be proposed or suggested? Because this system can be tweaked and some things can be done to possibly make it likable without throwing it in the trash, or at least I'd like to think so.
I mean, we'll see. I would like you to sell me on these ideas. maybe by the time we get there, I'll have it figured out as well. I'll be thinking about it. But I think there are some major problems intrinsic to the design of Azerite Armor that I don't know if it can be saved.
All right. Well, I don't necessarily have any ideas on the top of my head, but I want to be optimistic that there's something that can be figured out. So why don't we just kind of, I'll let you lead off with this, because you were pretty passionate when you and I last spoke about Azerite Armor and how you feel about it, especially on the latest episode of Azeroth Roundtable. So if you were to boil it down to just like a few different major points, what isn't doing it for you with Azerite Armor?
The problem is that I don't care about it. And I think that's always going to be the biggest issue with any new system that you introduce, is how are your players responding to it? Are they excited about it? Are they interested in it? And generally speaking, for me, just from my own personal take, I'm usually between neutral, uninterested in Azerite Armor stuff to actively not liking it. And that's kind of about the worst position you can be in. When I see that Azerite armor is going to be the reward for a world quest that I do or something like that. I look at the eye level, and then I usually roll my eyes, because right now I have some pretty high-level Azerite shoulders, and then the rest is all kind of floating around in that 340 zone, and that's usually about the tops that you can expect to get as a reward from world quests. So I see it, and it's just, okay, so this reward's going to be useless to me. Is kind of how it reads. Like, I'm still looking at eye levels. There's no, oh, but what if potentially it's got these better features attached to it? I never think that as a possibility. In fact, it hurts that
they can't Warforge or Titanforge. I mean, I get why they don't want it to Warforge or Titanforge, but the fact that that isn't in place makes it even less attractive to want to repeat those quests.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, I know this is probably not going to be an upgrade for me. And occasionally you get surprised. Occasionally you get some gear and you think, same eye level. Stats maybe seem better on this. I don't know. Let's ask Mr. Robot, because now we're back to a position where, and look, this is not me trying to criticize Ask Mr. Robot. I love the people over there. I love the website. I'm a subscriber to them. This is not meant to be throwing shade, but it might sound like it is. But hey, guys, great. We made it back to where Ask Mr. Robot feels necessary to gearing up my character again. There was a nice period of time where it didn't feel like that was the way. Now we're back to where it feels like, oh, I guess I better go do this. And that's what I did. And then, oh, okay, this armor is actually a reward. Let me pick it. And now let me go through the rings. And I had a lot of people tell me whenever I would, you know, say, oh man, I'm going to miss the legendary system and I'm going to miss, you know, my artifact weapon and all the stuff tied to it. And people were like, yeah, but the new Azerite pieces, that's where all that stuff's going to be. I have yet to get a single piece of Azerite gear that was as interesting as any legendary or artifact weapon talent that I had, maybe beyond the stuff that was just makes such and such a stat better. But the traits on them are boring. They're extremely boring. None of them are fun or cool. And so that's kind of where that meh feeling comes in. It's now I've put on gear and now I get to pick a thing and the UI looks great. But beyond the UI, it's just, okay, I'll click a thing, I guess. It's just another step to putting on gear right now. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to step in and say, I think part of the reason that those traits don't feel as exciting, not to mention, I mean, the design of the traits is kind of meh to me, but by just the fact that you have three slots, so you have three different sets of bonuses, I think in the past when they were talking about this on the Band Development, they said that if you had the same bonus on all three pieces and had them stack up, that stacked up bonus would feel as good or better than a bonus from, say, a legendary item. That's great and stuff, but when you have differing pieces of gear and each of these bonuses is essentially only one third as interesting as a bonus from a legendary item, if that, then it doesn't seem to be that impactful for your character. I would say one of the other issues with the bonuses, and you mentioned this as well, is that there are not too many bonuses that outright change how you would play your character. I can give a couple examples of bonuses that I think do make you do that. There's one bonus, which I think is found on gear over in Kul Tiras, where if you you generate orbs of shadow on the ground or orbs of water, and if you walk over those orbs, you actually get like a haste buff or a crit buff or something like that, and that can stack up. And every once in a while, a shadow orb drops, and that gives a more important bonus. That kind of changes up your gameplay because you're being rewarded for not standing in one place, for moving around and actively going after those buffs. Some people may think that's a terrible bonus because of how much it doesn't allow you to just stop in one place and move. I think it's at least interesting. It's something that's dynamic. It makes you play differently.
Yeah, I hate that bonus.
Yeah,
I deliberately avoid it. It's my least favorite part of Monks and Demon Hunters is, oh good, an orb spawned all the way over there that I now have to run over and pick up to be effective to play my class. I've been doing a lot of PvP lately, and I hate how people move when they PvP. I understand it would be dumb if we all just stopped and stared at each other and hit each other, but the, like, running around each other, jumping up and down, like, it's the most ridiculous-looking thing in the entire world. And fighting a mob and, like, running in a big circle around it to try to pick up orbs, there's something that just pulls me out of the game when I see it. It's just like, what is this? I'm fighting a bird. And as I fight this bird, I'm going, whoa, whoa. It doesn't look like dodging. If it looked like dodging, that might be okay. But it just looks like I'm frantically running in a circle, picking up orbs while fighting a woodland creature. And
you're juggle fighting.
Yeah. Nothing looks dumber than that. The only way it looks dumber is if you start jumping while you're doing it.
Which you could be punished for if you're on the last boss of Tol D'Agor. that boss. Okay, I get you, and I understand that. And like I said, I imagine I'm just one of those weird people. It's like, I like that bonus because it's interesting and it makes you play differently. Is it necessarily the best for your DPS or the most effective? No, but I like the uniqueness of it. I also like bonuses which definitely make you play your rotation differently or make you think about how you cast your spells in a different order. For instance, I just started working on my Warlock because my Shadow Priest was the first to 120. Just started working on my Warlock and I got this early piece of Azerite gear, which from time to time will make my Incinerate an instant cast. Things that proc long casting spells as instants, that feels good. That feels like, hey, I have a piece of gear that's making an actual impact on how I'm playing my character. Bonuses which just make this hits harder or this generates a passive heal to the most injured person, stuff like that, doesn't really excite me because those are things that when you are deeply entrenched in a raid encounter or a dungeon or a mythic dungeon boss fight, you aren't really paying attention to that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the other issues that I have is I have one that I actually would make a case for being kind of interesting right now.
Okay.
And that is when I use Between the Eyes, which is a gunshot for a rogue finisher, when I use that as a finisher, it has a chance to do bonus damage and award 4 combo points. So
that's a big deal.
More often than not, you know, you use it at max combo points, and the next thing you know, you're at max combo points again. And it's cool. The problem is, it's like grants a 10 or 15% chance for this to happen. It doesn't happen enough to where you can plan it in your rotation or are even ready for it. So the amount of times that I have used it, saw my combo points not disappear, sat there and gone, why didn't the combo points go away? And am spamming 2 to do, you know, I don't think it's called, it might be Sinister Strike again, but spamming my attack and trying to figure out why the combo points aren't reflecting, only to go, oh, right, that Azerite talent. Let me do a finisher. Okay, there they go. Now they're cleared. Oh, but I've used up my energy and wasted it because I was busy trying to figure out what was going on. Now my rotation's thrown off. Okay, well, we'll get it back. We'll figure it out. It is a cool bonus. It is a cool feature, but it's so outside of the scope of normalcy for me that it actually throws me off as much as it helps.
Yeah, I think a good comparison, if we were to look at like just the design of bonuses, and I'm not really sure. I guess I wonder as a designer, like what are the challenges or what are the drawbacks for attempting this design? But and heck, we're going to be talking about Diablo twice on this show here. So in Diablo, of course, you have a set gear, which has different degrees of bonuses depending on how many pieces of the set you have. Something that we don't have in Battle for Azeroth, but I would say that set bonuses in World of Warcraft were mostly uninteresting because a lot of them just gave passive damage bonuses to some of your stuff. Some of them did a couple interesting things, but for the most part, they're just damage or healing increases. Anyhow, in Diablo, the set bonuses had a big impact on what skills you would choose, when you would play them. And if you wore the right combination of different pieces providing different bonuses, your character could play in a very different way than someone else playing the exact same class, but using different pieces of gear. When I think about what do I want out of Azerite gear in as a system, I want a system that can emulate the Diablo experience of gearing as close as possible. I guess the question to ask there is there a way to make that work?
It's hard to do. I think it's possible, but I think they've put so much diversity in the specs within a class that it's hard. I mean, especially for some classes, for rogues, you know, maybe that's an easier sell. You know, hey, we want you to damage a different way, and hopefully you're cool with that. But even as rogues, like, I want to be an outlaw rogue. I don't want to be an assassin. I definitely don't want to be subtlety. So I have strong opinions on that, but then you look at a class like a paladin and what are you going to do? Like, hey, we gave you cool gear to encourage you to switch to tanking instead of this. And right now our classes have been pruned to such a way that a lot of that nuance is between the specs. It's not within the class itself. It's not like I have a bunch of buttons on my rogue that I don't use simply because it's suboptimal to what I'm currently doing. Like, they've kind of boiled it down to the meat and potatoes of the class, which is good for WoW. But I think where it gets tricky is when you say, well, I want a Diablo-style gear system that encourages a different way to play. At that point, that's when you say, well, we need more abilities than what we currently have access to for that to be possible, because right now there are only so many ways to play. For example, the only real nuance that I've had with my rogue in Battle for Azeroth is initially, I'm not the biggest fan of Roll the Bones because it's kind of RNG thrown in on top of everything. So I went with Slice and Dice as a talent for a while, which basically, for anybody who doesn't play rogue, when you do Roll the Bones, it's the thing you see where giant dice come out, and it applies between 1 and 3 buffs on us that have differing effects. We don't get to pick. It's all random. Whether we get multiple or which buff we get, all of that is random. It can lead to some really insanely high DPS. It can be a problem. It can be a distraction during a fight as well. And if you pick the talent Slice and Dice, it replaces Roll the Bones. It just gives you net attack speed. You know what you're going to get every single time. It's not a bad stat. You won't hit those same highs, but you'll just be kind of middle ground the entire time. The problem I ran into with that is when I switched to that, it kind of removed between the eyes from my rotation because there was no need to ever really shoot it. So all of a sudden, my rotation was literally spam Sinister Strike. Once I get up to so many combo points, activate Slice and Dice, spam it again, do my finisher, rinse and repeat. That was it. You know, throw on Adrenaline Rush when it's on cooldown. Like, it was the easiest rotation in the world, and it was incredibly boring. And so I ended up stepping away in favor of a talent that I don't necessarily love because it was just a little more dynamic, and it encouraged me to do some other moves and put some of that stuff in. I think WoW could use more stuff like that.
I definitely agree with that. And I guess when thinking, it's like when we want things to be more dynamic, and like I want the gearing system to be more like Diablo and stuff, a fair question to ask perhaps is, what are the obstacles keeping that from happening? Or like, for instance, I'm sure we can say, hey, it'd be cool if we had this in game. Or like, okay, here's a good question. I've asked many times, why can't we have player housing in WoW? And the thing is that from a development point of view, it has to do a lot with like, the question's been answered before, and it has to do a lot with like just how many additional systems you would have to put in to support player housing. If we had a dynamic, what I'm trying to say is if we had something that was more dynamic, we have to take into consideration that they're not just working for our class or our spec. There are now, what, 30 different specs in the game. Yeah. And in Diablo, they only have to deal with five or six classes, or is it seven classes now? I think seven. Seven classes with a relatively smaller range of a smaller pool of abilities to work with. So if you're trying to flesh out the system for well over 30 different specs, that's a lot of development time, that's a lot of changes, and probably not something that can be accomplished in the middle of an expansion. And I guess that's one of the frustrating things, because I don't think anyone is expecting Azerite armor to be around next expansion. I feel like this is the expansion-centric kind of feature that, like artifact weapons, once we're done with Battle for Azeroth, we won't have Azerite armor. There'll be some new MacGuffin which will do some sort of weird bonuses for our character and such like that. And because there's that limited shelf life to them, you have to, like, if you're in a developer's shoes, you have to ask, is it worth devoting this much time and energy and resources into fleshing out this system when this system is going to be discarded 2 years from now?
Right. And I think the answer is no. I think the answer for Battle for Azeroth Azerite gear is, what can we do to make the system we have as interesting as we can without having to go completely back to the drawing board? The problem that it's going to run into is if they ever make those talents, whatever you call them, the traits, too interesting and too good, you potentially run into a place where people don't want to go to better gear because they like the traits so much, which means there has to be a steady escalation of traits going forward. You know, I think that it would be an interesting idea if you unlocked the traits with Azerite gear and then carried them into future Azerite gear. You know, like, I've unlocked X number of Outer Ring traits. Now all Azerite gear I get has those traits for me to choose. Yes, the end result is we all go to ask Mr. Robot, say, what is the absolute best that it can be? And we pick it, and that's what we use. It's not going to be great, but to me, I don't think Azerite armor gets great. I think it just gets passable. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a passable answer, where it's, you know, okay, well, now at least I can pick between all these traits, and I'm not at the whim of, oh, this gear just doesn't have the thing I want. So I think that's a nice little, you know, maybe thing they could do if I'm trying to really get into it and figure it out. I think the problem is, going back to just the Diablo thing, is we have a system in World of Warcraft where you can drag all your buttons onto the bar.
Right.
There's no limit. Diablo has a limit. They have an initial really big limit, and then you can unlock it in the options menu to get a little more freedom. But until Blizzard sits down and says, okay, we're going to set it to where you have a lot of abilities, but you have to pick, this is your primary attack. And, you know, you have to choose between this list of things. And this is going to be your finisher, so to speak. And this is going to be your evasion. And this is going to be, you know, your big cooldown. And until we're picking set things, I don't think they can get into a Diablo realm gear-wise. I'd be curious to see what would happen if they did that. You know, I think that could be cool. I think that could be interesting. But I think, like you said, that's not something that comes mid-expansion. That's a new expansion feature. So yeah. I guess my big thing for Azerite gear is, to me, it's a system. It's all a system that plays against itself. And what I mean by that is, when I got my first piece of Azerite gear, it was like, cool, this is neat. I understand this. This seems exciting. And I picked an ability, and then I got up enough Azerite to pick another ability, and I did that. And then I got up enough Azerite, and oh, it just ups the eye level. Okay, that's lame, but fine.
Let's stop there, though. I want to stop at that moment, because that was the next thing I wanted to bring up really quick here. The last thing of Azerite gear being a 5-item level increase is perhaps the thing that irritates me the most about Azerite gear. I think that it's important that the most influential or impactful bonus of Azerite gear still be on the Outer Ring. I think that was a good choice. But having the innermost, the final bonus, just be 5 item levels, I'm going to, and this is where I'm going to sound almost a little toxic here, but to me, part of the thing about when we talk about what we like and don't like about the game is how does it make us feel? That last bonus of Azerite gear makes me feel like it's lazy, like it's not special, like it is not really rewarding me for completing this achievement of getting to this artifact level on the Heart of Azeroth. When your final carrot at the end of the stick tastes like something that's been sitting around in a Walmart for 2 weeks, you don't want to go after that carrot.
No. And I mean, I definitely probably felt, I just said definitely probably, and it's bugging me.
I do that
all. I'm just going to acknowledge it and move on. I feel like I was definitely in your shoes until, because I knew we were going to talk about this today, and I was kind of going through in my own head how I felt about Azerite gear and what I might do and stuff like that. And I realized as I was trying to figure that out that that five eye levels is there to kind of do the thing that I had just said is a potential problem, which is what happens when we outgear the gear that we like. That five item levels helps keep that gear maybe a little more relevant a little further into the future than, you know, what we would have otherwise. So it is kind of a way to say, you know, I really like the bonuses on this, and I think the bonuses on this are good, but man, it's such a low eye level compared to the other one. Getting a five eye level boost helps put it a little more in that gray area until you can find something proper to replace it with. And I think that's why it's there on a mechanical level. That doesn't make it interesting, and I will not at any point defend that five eye levels is interesting, but I think I understand why it's there and in that position late in the game, because, you know, it is that thing of, oh, you're clearly keeping this piece of gear around maybe longer than we intended because you're hitting this final ring. Okay, we'll give you five eye levels to keep it relevant for a little while longer.
Quick question. What if it was 15 item levels? Now, one thing about Titan Forging is that Titan Forging, if something's lucky enough to Titan Forge, it can go not only to plus 10, plus 15, it could potentially go plus 25, 30, or even higher. But what if the last bonus was just a flat out 15 item levels? That means that a piece that, say, you found in Raid Finder could eventually be as good as a piece in the next tier higher, but not beyond that. It would making the bonus at the end higher be a good enough fix to make it feel more interesting and be like, okay, I can dig that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind if they put an interesting feat in that final slot and said every time you pick a new slot, you get an additional five item levels. You know what I mean? Like across the ring. I know we're getting into 20 now with additional rings and stuff like that, but
yeah.
It's one of those things where I don't think it should be just a thing on its own. I think 15 item levels certainly feels better than five. I think there is still a case of item levels are a necessary evil, in my opinion. I totally get why they're in the game. I think it's important they're in the game. I hate that they're in the game.
Yeah.
So when you put a feat in that's like, hey, five item levels, it's like, thanks for making me acknowledge this system that I understand and don't want to go away, but also don't like. So great. Now we're looking at it. But it's a bad feeling at the end of the Azerite gear. But at the end of the day, it also doesn't matter. To kind of continue back to why I think the flow of Azerite gear is bad is because that's your first experience with Azerite gear. It's kind of the ideal. And then you replace it and you're like, all right, I got new better gear. And I think going through the expansion when I replaced it, I already had all three rings or maybe the first two already unlocked. And was like, all right, cool. Well, I got these. And then all of a sudden you hit that wall where it's like, oh, I got one ring. Oh, what happened to those other rings?
One step forward, two steps back.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden it feels bad because you're like, oh crap, I got so used to just picking all these traits. Now I've picked one and oh, okay, this is fine, I guess. And so you start working towards unlocking those. And then this is where the like a bullet to the head of Azerite gear comes for me. Then you replace it before you unlock any other rings. And then you go, oh, there's a good chance that I go through this gear and I never unlock these rings and they don't mean anything. And I think once you hit that point, once you have hit the point where you've said, oh, these traits don't matter. I think that's where it kills the system, at least for me. I would assume for other people based on what I've heard them say, because now it's no longer an assumption of I should unlock these. It's, oh, I'll probably likely upgrade this gear long before I've unlocked everything. And the big problem with that is that it immediately makes you care less about Azerite. I have spent this entire expansion trying to convince myself that I care about Azerite. And the truth at the end of the day is that I don't. Doesn't matter how many times Magni tells me, there's huge Azerite over there. No, I don't care, Magni. I have no interest. Your necklace is extremely boring and passive, and I don't know if I'm going to keep this Azerite gear to a point where it matters. These traits aren't so cool that I'm going to grind Azerite just to get them. If I get to them, I get to them. And beyond that, I don't particularly care. And so once you hit that point, you have now trivialized Azerite gear. You've trivialized Azerite as a reward, and you've trivialized the necklace, which was trivial from the get-go, because what a dumb slot and what a dumb item that necklace is.
And so we get to the heart of the matter, and as I've been listening to you and thinking about things, I think I have an idea for a change that will probably never happen. So we're going into a bit of what-if land here. But maybe the problem isn't Azerite armor. Maybe the problem's the heart of Azeroth. What if we had a World of Warcraft where instead of 3 or 4 rings on Azerite armor, you had something like 7 or 8 rings on the Heart of Azeroth, an item that stays with you throughout the entire course of an expansion? Does that remind you of something? It should. That's what Legion was.
Yeah.
What if, but my proposal, if you're going to do things with like rings and different talent and different like bonus changes and stuff like that, keep it all on the Heart of Azeroth, something that's going to stay with you throughout the entire expansion. Make Azerite, the way you could still do Azerite gear for like the head, shoulders, and chest, if you want to make that relevant, is say that equipping those pieces gives you access to choosing one of those similar powers, but they're located on the rings on your Heart of Azeroth. And then as you reach a certain Heart of Azeroth level, you go from the outside ring to the next ring to the next ring, so that over the course of the expansion, rings are being unlocked. You don't take any steps backward. And what gear you end up equipping determines what bonuses you can decide to select or choose in your Heart of Azeroth. I feel like that would work better. I feel like that would feel better. And I mean, I've just thought of this over like 3 or 4 minutes.
That sounds way better to me. I still, you know, I still am not 100% sold on this mechanic overall, but that sounds like a better option. At least I would look at the necklace and think there's something to do with it rather than, oh, I equipped it and then I just forgot about my next slot for forever. I mean, artifact weapons, and I know there are people out there that are like, well, I got sick of looking at them, and I know that's why Blizzard picked a nondescript slot like a neck. But, you know, we had transmog. It's not like you had to be permanently stuck with it. Although I do agree there are some restrictions to the transmog system that should have been fixed prior to artifact weapons being a deal. But anyway, let's get away from that for a moment, because that's a whole other rabbit hole. And we'll just say the problem with the necklace is that nobody cares about the necklace. It's not seen. It's not worn. There's no hidden appearances to go after. There's no hidden features to go after. One of my favorite Legion memories is trying to get those damn rapiers from the impossible foe mage tower thing.
Yep.
That was one of my favorite moments of the expansion. The longing for it, the, oh God, I'm going to just destroy this game moments of trying to get it. And then the amazing relief at the end when it was done and I got it, and the feeling of accomplishment that came with it. There's no hidden appearances for a neck item. Nobody cares. That's not tied to anything. Nobody's interested in it. And for all of us, melee DPS classes, and probably some others out there, but the people whose weapon is so specifically tied to how powerful your character feels and so reliant on having a good weapon, now all of a sudden, I know so many people that spent the early parts of this expansion with the worst weapons and couldn't find any and couldn't get an upgrade in that department, and as a result felt awful. And we're just like, man, I wish artifact weapons could be back. I missed having just knowing that I would have a good weapon and not having to know about it. So they just picked a really lame slot. They removed even the active part of clicking the item to gain the power. And I know why they did. And there is a quality of life of not having to go into your bags and right click 80 different things. But there's also, because it's passive, I never look at the stupid thing. And so yesterday I was running time walking dungeons with some friends, and I got a piece of time walking gear that was a neck item. And I immediately made the joke, finally, I can get rid of this piece of trash and put on something different, and I'm going to unequip this stupid Heart of Azeroth. It should be the most amazing item in the world. And it is. It's the highest eye level item on my character. It took a while for it to get there. There was a period of time where I was extra heated about it because it wasn't as good as the other gear I was getting. Mm-hmm. But it got caught up. It's now the best piece of gear on me. But again, I'm looking at an eye level number for that. It doesn't feel like the best piece of gear that I have. It's just the eye level tells me it's good. And that's why I care about it. And Magni seems over the moon about it. There's nothing about the neck item in and of itself that makes me care or think it's interesting or think it's cool. Occasionally, my character holds it up during a daily quest, and it's usually the daily quests I hate where I have to hold it up and charge it from killing things. Like, nothing about interacting with that necklace has been fun or enjoyable or made me feel powerful at all. So here's what I propose, because okay, you were very big on let's bring ideas to the table.
Yes.
And so far, generally speaking, I've had none.
Here's I've tried.
here's my new idea. This is a dumb idea, by the way.
That's fine. I never said the ideas were going to be great.
We make the necklace like Iron Man's Omni Beam. And we charge it up as we collect Azerite, and when we hit a certain amount of Azerite, we fire a massive beam of energy as an attack. We just get an extra button, and we fire it out.
That's not bad, but you wouldn't be able. Would you be able to use that in raids or dungeons? I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Just save it up for raids so you're farming up Azerite.
It's raid night. I got to go farm Azerite so I can charge up my Omni Beam. And every boss fight starts the same way. People standing around the boss in a big circle, and then everybody pulls out their necklace and just friggin' fires a beam of energy at the boss. Oh. But now that I've said it, it's not a bad idea. What if instead of just a beam, what if there were a multitude of effects that we could unlock that you could pick? So it's something we're selecting that you could charge up with Azerite. It wouldn't require a huge charge, but by collecting Azerite, you know, you kind of passively charge it. Ooh. And you can pick, and maybe some of it's AoE, maybe you shoot a bunch of cool Azerite missiles, maybe it's a haste buff that applies to yourself. Maybe
you summon an Azerite elemental to fight for you.
Yes, they could do so much stuff with this. And now I give a shit about my stupid necklace that I haven't done anything with this entire expansion.
So, really quick, what that's reminding me of is in Legion, you could choose one of your followers from your class hall to be the one that's like your adventuring buddy. Some of them could be your adventuring buddy and adventure with you. And depending on the one you chose, I think each class had two or three different ones that could provide a different button or a different ability or different bonus. You could basically use that kind of ability or bonus system with the Heart of Azeroth, whereby farming enough Azerite, and it doesn't have to be a super excessive amount, just enough like through daily gameplay, that then it gives you access to one of these kind of bonuses, which is like a neat button to push while you're playing.
Yeah, I think another good example, I think that's spot on. I think another good example is, and most people didn't get too experimental with it, but when we went to Argus, there was that part of the ship where we could switch out a cool little bonus that we could do, where it could fire a laser, you could have a mech, and you know, all that sort of stuff. Same exact thing. And now you have another unlockable where it's like, hey, you're going to unlock a new potential ability for this power. Now we have another reason for Azerite. And I would say that it would be cool if like the idea was Azerite has permeated everything on the planet now. So when you kill things, there's a small chance for a little bit of Azerite to be in there. every time you loot somebody. So everybody's getting, a trickle of Azerite.
It's like that regularly on island expeditions.
Yeah, you could go do an island expedition and just instantly fill the thing. And it's like, all right, well, maybe I'm more inclined to put myself through this drudgery just to know that my necklace is now filled and ready to go. And maybe depending on the effect, maybe there are charges. You know, maybe if it's the Omni Beam, you drain the whole thing. But if it's like Azerite arcane missiles, maybe you get three that you can shoot out when and where you want. Or maybe you get two summonings of an elemental.
It's like the Heart of Azeroth is turning into Mega Man's cannon.
Yes, that's what I want it to be. That I feel a lot better about.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't solve Azerite gear, but I think we found a way to make the Heart of Azeroth better.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's half a win. So if there's anyone that's been listening that happens to work on World of Warcraft, there you go. There's an idea. Use it or don't. I want to end with one cheeky comment from last episode's co-host, D2D, who said on Twitter, "I don't want to kill Sigaris because he's bad. I want to kill him because he's the reason we have Azerite armor now."
Yeah, same, buddy. I'm right there with you.
But I think we had a decent conversation without being too toxic about it. I don't think we were even really toxic at all. You and I both agree that Azerite as a system needs a lot of work, and there's probably ways to improve it and make it better. But at the same time, it's something that's only going to be around for Battle for Azeroth. So, I mean, we'll deal with what we got and hope that they can make it a little bit better for the time that we have to deal with it.
Yeah, I think I have been a bit outspoken. And I mean, we've redesigned what we do on our show to try to be a little less negative, a little less trying to figure out solutions. We had somebody write a comment for Azeroth Roundtable that said, "The show is nothing but people trying to play armchair game designer." Mm. And I thought about it, and where that comes from is it comes from the desire to not be the toxic person.
Yeah.
You know, that it wasn't us trying to be armchair game designer, and I'm applying this to this conversation too.
Sure.
It's us trying not to just be the person that goes, "I hate it," and just leave it at that. You know, we want to feel like we've contributed more than just going, "It's bad." Because the question is always, well, why is it bad? What could be done to make it better? What could be more interesting?
Right.
And I think both you and I see that there are places that this could be better, that this could be more interesting. And I'm not going to claim that the ideas that we came up with in an hour-long conversation are the best ideas in the world for the game.
They definitely aren't flawless.
Absolutely be followed to a T. But what I want people to take away from it is that we're not just trying to say, "Oh, we don't like it, it's awful, it's bad." We're throwing out ideas on what maybe we would like or what maybe could be cool. And I think that's what everybody should do, because who knows? Maybe the golden goose of an idea is out there and just hasn't been said, mm-hmm. and just needs the right person to come along at the right time and say it and throw it out there and get people excited and get people interested. And that's what I really ultimately kind of hope that we did, because I actually really like this expansion. Despite being down on a lot of the main features of the expansion, I'm having a lot of fun, and yeah. I've been playing a ton. I would say on par with Legion, maybe even more. Mm.
I definitely appreciate how you and I are having fun in the game for very different reasons. And that's a whole other conversation, but it's a conversation that you can partially hear on the latest episode of that. Well, by the time people hear this, it'll be two episodes back, but two episodes back on Azeroth Roundtable when I was on. Definitely check that episode out. And it's interesting. I never thought Ben would be the kind of person to enjoy war mode.
No, we got him though. We got him with the bait and switch.
Well, John, thank you for being on the show this week once again. Of course, Azeroth Roundtable and this show aren't the only things that you're working on. Let people know how else they can find you and what other stuff you're up to.
Yeah, absolutely. Check me out talking about WoW on Azeroth Roundtable. If you want to find out what else I'm doing, you can follow me on Twitter at John_Jagger. If you want to hear me talk about Heroes of the Storm, I recommend Core.
Core
is the Heroes of the Storm show I do, part of the Frog Pants Network. And also part of that network is There Will Be Dungeons, which is a D&D podcast, and it is a lot of fun. So join us on that adventure if that's the kind of thing that you are into.
It's definitely a lot of fun. This most recent episode where Scott actually wasn't available, I gotta say that one of the funniest bits of the whole episode was Bo trying to emulate Scott's sounds of anguish.
He wrote Scott out of that episode in a really interesting way.
Yes, he did.
It was a way I wasn't expecting, and as soon as I heard it, I thought, well, it's perfect.
Well, of course, folks, you can always follow us on Twitter at RestartCast, and you'll hear all the other stuff for how to find us and contact us at the end of the show. John, the next time you and I talk may very well be on a special episode regarding BlizzCon in one form or another, whether it be on Azeroth Roundtable or maybe even a special Realm Maintenance that you might make an appearance on. But there's plenty of more conversations to be had with you and I in the weeks to come. I'm looking forward to them.
Me too, man. I'm excited. It's an exciting time of year.
All right. Well, folks, we hope you'll tune in and listen to us when we talk once again about all things Warcraft and Blizzard stuff. Until then, I've been Ro. He's been John. We now return you to your regularly scheduled adventures in Azeroth. Goodbye, everybody.
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here!
It's the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup brought to you by the Realm Maintenance Podcast. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every podcast I'm aware of that covers a Blizzard franchise and produced an episode between October 1st and 7th of 2018. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have Three Goblins in Trenchcoat, Battle.net News, Blue Recluse, Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, Group Quest, Icy Veins, The Instance, Lagging Balls, Nerf This, Torn Think Tank, and The Training Dummies. Your World of Warcraft shows include the AIE Podcast, Dollcraft, Azeroth Roundtable, Battle Pets, Best in Slot, The Converted, Countdown to Classic, Corpse Farm Radio, Control at Wild, Dark Moon Herald, Decoded, Dungeon Fables for Azeroth, Frazzlecast, Half-Hill Report, Lore Watch, Merely a Setback, Pwncast, Raiders Confessional, Roll Knee, Snack, Zeroth, Standing Fire, The Starting Zone, Tank Cast, Technically PvP, Unshackled Fury, Whispers of War, Who Aggro That, World of Warcast, Wild Talk, and Wowhead Weekly. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 60-Hour Dust, After School HS, Angry Chicken, Around the Hearth, Blizzlet Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Queen Concede, The Daring Reporter, Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Coach, Hero Powercast, Into the Wild, The Lightforge, Legend of the Innkeeper, Off Curve, Omnistone, Tier 5 Podcast, Valleytown, Velms Chosen, and Walk to Work. Jen's Lore Corner and Shattered Soulstone covered Diablo last week. The Pylon covered StarCraft. Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, Gankbush Squad, Heroes News with Jewel Scott, Into the Nexus, Lords of the Storm, and the Nexus Trolls. And finally, for Overwatch, we have Blackwatch Report, Broverwatch, The Cavalry, Enter the Iris, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Omnic Lab, Omnic Weekly, The Overcast, Overwatch League Network, Overwatch Recall, The Owl Recap, Tactical Crouch, and Watchpoint Radio. You can catch a weekly podcast roundup at the end of this show and during the Realm Maintenance podcast. For links to all of these shows and more great Blizzard podcasts, go to realm-maintenance.com. You can find this podcast on most major podcast apps. Follow us on Twitter at RestartCast. You can email the show at rollingrestartpodcast@gmail.com. The Rolling Restart is a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions. You can find archives of the show at rollingrestart.frozenfoxmedia.com. The music for the show is Battle for Lordaeron by Neil LaCree, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.